throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Talk some football, talk some basketball, all kinds of things on the docket. Jim Harbaugh is leaving Michigan. He'll be the head coach at the Chargers. So Justin Herbert and Jim Harbaugh will unite in L.A. You think he was forced to leave? Or is this something – I know that Shefty tweeted out there last night that this is the third straight offseason that he's been in deep discussions to take – to get back into the NFL. The Broncos last year, and I can't remember who it was the year before. But – so it's not like this just kind of popped up out of nowhere, but is Michigan about to get hammered? And that's why he wanted to leave. On the college football side of things – you realize there's only one of the playoff coaches still employed at the university they coached at the playoff?
Yeah.
Is that a trend, or is that just an anomaly? Talk about that. What's going to keep these coaches in the college game? If it is a trend, how do you change it? And then, you know, you're hearing a lot of things out of Norman. I don't know, as far as high-profile portal gets, they've been few and far between for Oklahoma. The spin is creating a culture, like almost a non-NIL type culture. We're going to pay our guys and not outsiders, which is essentially the exact opposite of what everybody else in the sport is doing. So it's definitely unique. Is it purpose, or is it out of necessity because they aren't playing the game right? Talk about that. Mel Kiper, we tried to get to it yesterday, but didn't get there. But look at his first mock draft. Talk about what the Bears could or would do. First three picks in Kiper's draft were quarterbacks. Now, he doesn't have trades yet, so it's just kind of a straight down. How many quarterbacks go in the first round? Will there be a Sooner and kind of a weird one, just like last year? Then hit a little bit of the Super Bowl matchups. Which one would make you the happiest? Like, which game would you be like, all right, this is cool? And then which game do you think would be the best game from an X's and O's matchup standpoint? Thunder win last night in San Antonio. We got Chet and Wimby. We really got it for about, what, 5 or 6 minutes to start the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
It was just back and forth. One could wonder why Wembanyama waited until he's down 30 to have some sort of chip on his shoulder. And, of course, he's getting all the praise. And, you know, poor little Chet, the little engine that could, was just kind of hanging out in there. All-star starters announced tonight, I believe. It's Thursday, right? Yeah, on TNT. I think it happens tonight.
Oh, is that tonight?
I think it is. Is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's name going to be called as one of the starters? How many all-stars will Oklahoma City get this season? Then maybe the Doc Rivers talk as well, as he is officially hired by Milwaukee to replace Adrian Griffin. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Fire out questions on the text line. We got one that I think is interesting. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app's got it all. Radio, Penny News, pick up a free copy of the Penny News right now. It's out. Brand new edition of the printed Penny News, or you can check it out online, thepennynews.com, through the app. Big Elk and Paragon TV, you're all canooted up. You got a game tonight? A makeup?
Yes, at Cordell.
At Cordell. Yep. So, you know, we start to see kind of some of those games that might have been postponed for one reason or the other, finding little holes in the calendar. So one of those tonight. Of course, tomorrow we'll have homecoming night at the Pioneer Center. Bethany in town.
Be a fun game. A lot of talent on that floor.
Yeah, there is. There's no doubt about that. And then, of course, Skinny on Sports podcast. You can find everywhere. I don't know. We got a text yesterday. I don't know that I quite understood.
What about?
Something about Google Podcasts was being phased out. YouTube is where we're headed now. Do you know anything about this?
I haven't seen anything.
News to you. Okay. Well, I'll send this to you. That way you can decipher what it actually means. How are you today, Jared?
Good. How are you doing?
Well, phone's going off. Here we go. I'm fine. It is, it's weird. You know, it seems like this happens at some point in the basketball season after Christmas where it's like every single day is foggy. Like there's a little moisture. It's trying to warm up, but it's still cold. I don't know what's happening, but there are times where it's a little bit scary driving home at night when some of these really foggy days happen. And it seems like it always happens during basketball, kind of after Christmas, you know, even honestly later on in the basketball season, like when, as we get into playoff time or close to playoff time. And then here we are again today.
Yeah, I was a little nervous just driving about the four blocks from my house to the school after picking up my kids from their basketball practice. It was that foggy last night. So a little worried about today, too, coming home at night from Cordell. Not a far drive, but it just makes you it's eerie.
It is. That's a great
word. Eerie
is
the word to use when you're driving at night through the fog.
Yeah, and you're not really sure what's out there sometimes if it really gets dense.
Yeah. It's almost, you got to trust. Like always, when I drive through the fog.
Low beams are better than high beams.
Yes. And I'm looking for taillights in front of me and trying, that way I can get that depth perception, right? Because sometimes that fools you when you have that fog. It feels like you're just, So I'm like, okay, just find the, you know, hopefully there's someone in front of me tonight. Okay, I know that's my visibility. That's how far ahead they are. Mm-hmm. You can kind of get that idea. That's what gives me a sense of security.
And maybe it won't
happen.
And
I'm sure I will on the way home. I'll follow a bunch of other Canute fans on the way home.
But. And hopefully it doesn't really set in like it's supposed to until after midnight and everybody's asleep and then wake up and it might be a problem in the morning. Yeah. But
fog advisory till noon today. Just looking at it right now.
Well,
it's foggy.
Still out there.
It's not just socked in. Wasn't horrible coming in on the interstate anyways for me.
You know, I used to be able to kind of report from the west.
Yeah.
You were our eastern correspondent. I was the western one. Now it's not really the case.
Yep. Oh, well.
I know, everything has changed.
We get a little bit of the south, I guess.
Yeah, seasons of life.
I'm looking at the you mentioned, this is why I like basketball. I mean, I love basketball season because of the actual game, but it always feels like when we get to the state tournament weekend, like that's for me the unofficial start of spring.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we're done with like, all right, the winter sports are done. And now we look forward to the spring sports and better weather and nicer weather. And sometimes that weekend, it just feels like that weekend, it's a pretty weekend. It always turns out to be kind of a pretty weekend. I can't remember last time it's been really bad.
Another one time it rained on Saturday and it was leaking from the roof.
I remember that.
It's been a few years back.
But you're right.
It does seem like the weather's been pretty nice the last few years up there.
Yeah.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
To the point where you kind of wish it wasn't such a, I mean, for us, more a little bit more formal than normal from the attire standpoint, in which you had your shorts on instead of, I mean, was it last year that it was, maybe 2 years ago?
I just remembered I pulled up on a Saturday getting ready to do our games. I pulled up, you know, early enough to get ready and set up and make sure everything works. I remember opening up that door. I remember going from the hotel room. I was like, man, it's kind of nice. And then getting there, it's blue sky. I whipped out my phone, took a picture of the big house. Like, all right, time to work. I mean, and it was just gorgeous.
I think that was 2 years ago.
I think so.
Was that the last time we helped the NFHS?
Maybe. Maybe now.
Because I want to say when Wyatt and I went down to Washington for the Class B boys that day, two or three years ago.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I'm talking like he was in shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And it was, and the whole weekend was just
awesome.
No,
I'll tell you, and it's weird too because in the very next weekend it could turn. Because I remember, you know, the weekend, the small school state tournament is obviously the week before the larger schools. You know, so I remember we were helping out with NFHS and I was helping out down in Norman. And
that's right.
I went on a Friday to do the semifinal games. Stayed the night with my buddy Trey over there in Newcastle. Woke up Saturday. No, it was Thursday. Woke up for Friday to do the semifinals. And there was about a foot of snow on the ground. And it took me a little bit to get all the way. And then I'm thinking, oh, they're not going to do this. And they played the games as scheduled because all the teams that were involved
they're already there, or
they were from the metro area. They had no problems getting there. But I remember that weekend. But I remember the weekend before, though, during the small school, it was nice. It just feels to me every time we get to that weekend, I'm like, okay, we can put the sweaters in the back of the closet. Let's get ready for some nice weather outside.
Yeah, no doubt. And hopefully that's the way it happens.
And tomorrow we have rain chance and thunderstorm chances.
Yeah, I already did the weather for the afternoon.
70% chance.
Chance of thunderstorms.
Tomorrow and tomorrow night. And well, I don't have a game.
Maybe 60s by the time next week rolls around.
I've seen that. Hopefully this doesn't mess with our plans. I don't have a game. And I told my wife, listen, it's like the last Friday for about 6 weeks that I'm going to have open.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Hopefully
you got that Friday of regionals off.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can't get, but I could schedule it. I know that I'm off. Right. And so let's go do something. And she said, well, I want to do something with the family. Girls want to hang out with you too. So let's go. So she came up with this idea, Mountain Man's tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're going to throw some axes.
Very,
because James
good.
Is old enough now. And I don't know how smart that is to put an axe in my 7-year-old's hands. She's already crazy.
Yeah. Stand back, kids.
Look out. So I'm putting that out there as a warning.
Stand
back.
The
8th family will be throwing axes tomorrow night. Look out for the short one.
Probably be a decent idea to do the old pickup. And if they have a window where you don't even have to go inside.
She doesn't care about
it. Hey, Corey, bring that to the door.
Well, we told her she doesn't care about the food. She's, I get to throw the axes?
Yeah.
You know, with a little demonic voice. I get to throw the axes, Dad. Yeah, you get to throw them. You're old enough.
Did Katie have a weird look on her, like a real worried look on her face? Like, is that headed to me?
Uh-oh. Was this a good idea? Uh-oh.
All those times I've been mean to her. Is this going to come back to haunt me?
Oh, boy, they've been fighting lately, too.
Uh-oh.
We might have to separate them. You know, like two different throwing bays. Nah, should be fun. Hopefully the weather doesn't prevent us from driving over there.
All right, last night we saw Chet versus Wimby round two. Oklahoma City dominates the San Antonio Spurs again, this time 140-114. You know, that first matchup, we didn't see very, very many times where they were kind of back and forth at each other. Last night we didn't until the game was decided, and then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter it became mano a mano, and there they went for about 6 minutes or so. Of course, Wembanyama had a dunk as he ran through Chet, probably an offensive foul, but nobody cared at that point. You know, Chet got a block. There's back and forth. Both guys got part of the other one, you know, at different times, just the way it goes.
It's like the TV guy said, hey, guys, can you spice it up a little bit?
Really,
this game
is
boring.
Yeah, Oklahoma City's ahead by 24, 100-76 going into the fourth quarter. How about let's get Dagnalt and Pop on the horn here and tell them to put those guys in and go right at each other. That's pretty well – it looked like almost like one of those and-one games from back in the day where they just kind of went back and forth. Anyway, so that was a fun part of it, but all in all – you know, you look at it from the San Antonio side, you're going to get the Wimby dominated him and this and that. Wembanyama had 24, 12 rebounds, 4 blocks, 4 assists. Chet, 17, 9, 4 assists and 3 blocks. You know, I think Oklahoma City side would say, yeah, it's a perfect mirror of each other. Chet was plus 11 and Wimby was minus 11 if you look at the plus minus. So, you know, that's going to be an ongoing thing. I think it's one of those things that you could clearly tell that both of them don't like each other. But that matchup, every time those two teams play, is going to be diminished in every way possible to try to make it more about the team. You know, I was listening coming home from Clinton on Tuesday night after Oklahoma City's win against Portland, and that question was asked to Dagnalt, and he was just like, yeah, it's Oklahoma City versus the Spurs. You know, so they're going to try to downplay it, I think, organizationally. But you can tell those two don't like – those two have a healthy dislike of each other.
Yeah, you always heard that going in. I didn't know how much of that was manufactured or how much of that was true, but you can see it. You can sense it with especially Chet's body language and his facial expressions.
See, I think it's the other way.
You think Wimby?
Yeah, all of a sudden he's not laissez-faire for the first time. And it's, I mean, you know, yeah, it looks like it flips a switch to him.
Maybe he sees a challenger, you know?
He sees a dude that is. The game isn't as easy for him if Chet is out there.
If Chet is out there, that he has the length that can be defended, or Chet has the length that can defend Wimby and the skill set and all that. Yeah, I'm with Scott on the text line. I like it because, I mean, this is their first year on the court at the same time. And. They're young, and you certainly hope this is a and for the sake of this quote-unquote rivalry between these two, you certainly hope San Antonio gets a lot better where we can see these games matter in the playoffs, maybe a seven-game series. I 100% buy into that, and then see stuff like that we saw late in the game when it didn't matter. I want to see it early in the game when it matters in a game seven or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know that. So I certainly hope that is something that's budding into that. And the game itself, I mean, the OKC has the better team, clearly just Chet's surrounded by better players. But, you know, I tuned in. I mean, it was great to actually get the watch on ESPN and all that. And I sat down, and it was appointment watch television for me. And I'm tuning in to see, because knowing that Thunder should win this game, their only doubt was it's the second I have a back-to-back, they on the road again, all that stuff. But I tuned in to watch Chet versus Wimby, and a lot of people are only tuning in to San Antonio, despite their horrible record, just to watch Wimby. So to see him have competition was interesting for me. But then I wanted to see, how does that match up? How does Chet versus Wimby look? You know, because there's always going to be that rookie of the year talk. Mm-hmm. Wimby's probably going to get it. He has the numbers that are worthy enough. Chet's on the better team, and all that. So I wanted to, that's what I was looking for. Could Chet on the national stage maybe say, hey, don't forget about me. I could be a rookie of the year type player too. He's had a great season. If it wasn't for Wimby coming in this year, he would be rookie of the year. And then there's the stuff, you know, Chet does a lot of the good things good, and kind of, it felt like he had a more well-rounded game than Wimby, but Wimby had a more flashy game. But almost when it didn't matter there at the end, like we talked about.
Well, it's hard to say any of it mattered when you get beat by 30.
Right. So, and then there's always, you know, I've always been told we can't have that discussion who's going to have the better career just yet. I think it's fun to talk about it. I think it's also fun to talk about who's having the better season. You know, what is the criteria for a better season? On a winning team that you're contributing to, or just having a great statistical season on a losing team is what Chet is, or Wimby is. So it's fun though. But at the end of the day, I can't wait to see this when it matters.
Yeah,
it absolutely matters.
I mean, it's just like two giraffes going at it right now. Yeah. Because they both need to gain weight or what, you know, become more naturally strong.
And it is refreshing. And I think it's going to be a fun and, you know, however long career that they have. Hopefully it's a long one, both of them. And then to see the documentary, you know, when we're in our nursing homes about
Get the backstory of the hate that they have developed.
Yeah, why do they hate each other? Is it just fresh competition? They see challengers or did something happen off the court? Something, did somebody say something one time or whatever? You know, it is refreshing because sometimes we see these rivalries like, oh, well, yeah, but I respect him. You know, he's a good friend off the court. But on the court, I'm like, I don't think they like each other off the court or on the court.
No. They are not having dinner together.
Yeah.
This is not a Draymond KD situation where they're going to talk in the parking lot after game six.
Exactly.
No. These two do not like each other. You can tell.
And it's really cool is how it steers their
career. And it's great because that's what we grew up with.
Yes.
MJ and Isaiah Thomas still hate each other.
Yes.
And it was great competition.
Yeah.
For the Bulls and the Celtics.
And you mentioned the Draymond thing with KD and then how that changed the course of the NBA. You know, so that changed a career, you know, for KD, obviously. So I wonder how, you know, with them not liking each other, how does that drive their careers? You know, like, if what if Chet keeps beating Wimby? And Williams is like, I'm tired of losing to this guy. I'm going to go to a better team where I can beat him. Or I'm going to demand that I get some more players on this team. You know, how does that alter their careers with just one-on-one hate wanting to beat each other?
I think that's the interesting part of it, because San Antonio is in the middle of just a tear-down rebuild, and they have the piece above all pieces to build around. And how much you know, because we think about the Spurs are basically the model for the Thunder.
Yeah,
and
that's always been.
And that is build everything homegrown. You know, obviously Presti came from there, and he's modeled this franchise. And quite frankly, it's the right choice. If you're Oklahoma City, you're in a lot of the same. You have a lot of the same problems that San Antonio had back then, and that is you're not going to attract a bunch of free agents. This isn't. You have to do it this way.
Yeah, Robinson was drafted. Duncan was drafted, right?
Yeah, Ginobili, Parker, all of them.
Right there. Leonard, they couldn't hold on to him, but he was. They didn't trade for these guys.
No.
They and got him.
They would fill They'd in, you know, him. A Robert Horry or something. But
right,
just,
yeah.
Exactly what we've seen the Thunder do.
Yeah.
The only difference is for Pop in San Antonio, it's led to 5 titles. And Oklahoma City's still in search of their first. But I'm anxious to see if the presence of Wembanyama in a different time in the league, because you could say, well, it didn't work for Tim Duncan. Yeah, players weren't as mobile, it didn't feel like, throughout the Duncan era as they are now. You mentioned Kawhi. It's a perfect – if it had been 2002 when Kawhi got drafted instead of 2012, Kawhi would still be a Spur. He'd have been a Spur the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But – player movement is such a different thing now and almost more accepted. And these guys, you know, it's not, you know, hopefully this gets it back to, you know what, I want to whip your butt.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not ever suggesting these two are going to play on the same team, but to bring back, because it feels like it's really tough to create kind of and sustain team rivalries. Because guys are always going somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the Warriors have been there, but you know, it hasn't necessarily been Warriors versus Heat, Warriors versus Cavs. It's been Warriors versus LeBron, whichever team he was on. You know, you started to get that with Warriors and Oklahoma City or Warriors Spurs, and then Kawhi left, KD left, and here we go. And you know, the Grizzlies were one. You know, the Spurs have obviously been one as well. So maybe this can kind of rekindle that for Oklahoma City.
And they were talking about – we'd had this conversation last night, and I heard it this morning before, or last hour before we came on. And, you know, what – where do rivalries come from in the NBA? It comes from the playoffs. It comes from those matchups in the playoffs. And those were fun playoff matchups against the Spurs during those couple years, about, what, 11, 12? And so that's what I mean. I want to see this Wimby versus Chet rivalry in a playoff game, in a playoff series.
And a whole bunch of them. And deep runs. And that's what made the Spurs, you know, think about what, 2012 Western Conference Finals, Oklahoma City wins. 2014 Western Conference Finals, the Spurs win. And then 2016, Oklahoma City goes, and the two times they won, they went down 0-2 with losses on the, and then won 4 in a row.
Yeah.
That was the semifinals that year that led to the Warrior series. But yeah, those are, you know, that Scott's on the Grizzlies. Man, those were the battles, right? I mean,
oh, they're
Zebo and Mike Conley and Mark Gasol.
Yeah, to the point I was sick great. Of them, and I mean I had a personal rivalry with them. I'm sick of these guys.
I mean, what was the one? It was in the Grindhouse. Early on, what was that, a 3 or 4 overtime game against the Grizz that the Thunder won? I think it was, golly, was it the first? Was it 2011 when they ended up getting beat by the Mavs in the Western Conference Finals?
11 when they got beat by the Mavs.
But Memphis had upset San Antonio as the 8 seed and 1 seed because Oklahoma City hosted Denver as the 4 or 5. Grizz won the 8 as the 8 seed over San Antonio, and that led to that first Thunder Grizz series that then we got a couple more of that were just awesome. All right, All-Star starters tonight announced. I'm almost positive it's tonight. Is Shea one of those All-Star starters?
Should be, but won't. And it's just the unfortunate
Okay, so it's not just the vote.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just the fan vote. There's weighted. It's coaches and players, too.
Okay. What's weighted more, though?
Well, the last...
The 50-50, 50 fan, 50...
Well, when they
side.
Released the last week, Shea had made up an immense amount of ground on Steph.
I just wish there were a couple more nationally televised games before this. So the last night was too late. I wish there was to get more exposure to see what we already know about Shea. You know, you can look at the box and you could look or his season stats, and you can see he's averaging 30 a night. He's had the most 30-point games of anybody, any point guard, I believe, this season. But it's just the whole small market of OKC, and then not getting enough exposure. So that's why I say he should be, absolutely. I just think he won't be, though. Now, don't ask me who the five would be or who'd start just, over him. Do you think Luka?
Luka and either SGA or Steph are going to be the guards.
So that's the problem. You got these guys that have been so
– I think he's going to be.
I hope he is. I hope you're right.
I think he's going to be the starter. He made up a bunch of ground in the fan voting. And then I think right here, I think the players and the coaches, I think he closed the gap enough on the fans to where the players and the coaches, I think he's going to be a starter. I really do. Now, the question is.
Just a little sidebar. As much as we rip players and their, their decisions and jumping from team to team and coaches and stuff like that, this is where I think they absolutely know this game and who's the star and who's playing and who's good and who's not good. You don't think so?
I don't know, man. LeBron the GM sucks.
Oh,
well, we've seen it forever. Yeah. But he's the one that's supposed to know.
Well, as far as when they know, when someone asks, like, a great example is a couple years ago, or maybe last year, KD was on a podcast and he was asked about what's a team you're looking on, and he was like, "Man, look at the Thunder. They got some young dudes, and that's a team that you need to look out for." And it appears that he's right.
And maybe they're better with NBA players and not guys coming out of college because they just don't see enough of them.
That's what I meant. It's like when it comes to something like this, I'm like, "Oh, this guy's a deserving starter in the NBA or the All-Star game," because they know it. I mean, they pay attention to that, and it's not about how many jerseys are sold. It's about what they are actually doing on the court.
Yeah, and that might be the case. I think SGA will be a starter. How many other All-Stars will Oklahoma City have?
Now, does Chet count, or was he going to be like on a
– No, Chet will count if he makes it. Mm. Not starter. I'm sorry.
Like, I know what you mean. On the team.
Yeah, just for the whole team.
Who will be there that weekend? Man, there's a few that you could plug in there. I'd say one more.
I mean,
I just don't know who though. I don't know if Chet, because does he not get the nod because of Wimby? Maybe it'd be fun to see those two on All Star Weekend. I'd say one more. Just don't ask me who. I think.
Well,
one
it has
more,
to be Chet. I don't think.
Think of Chet.
Even if J Dub deserves
see,
it,
I kind of lean that way.
But he doesn't have any. It took SGA like 2 years of great play to get there. Chet has the notoriety because of his high draft pick. Mm-hmm. J Dub, I just don't. This time next year, if he continues it, I think they could have three.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't think J Dub has enough of the cachet around the league just yet to get the respect that he deserves. That makes sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because he's nowhere to be found in the fan voting, whereas Chet is.
Do you think do you think fans are confused?
Announcers get confused.
I get confused. Do you think
And do you know who might be the number one overall pick in the draft this year?
His brother.
His brother from Colorado.
I know you mentioned yesterday about Colorado being a so. I remember watching them play earlier this year. They're not bad.
J-Dub's brother.
They're not bad because of him.
I think if it is another one, it'll be Chet. I just don't know. If you'd asked me this 3 weeks ago, I'd have said yes. But it feels like Chet's statistically has hit a little bit of a wall. He's not quite up in that. You know, when you're averaging 23 or 24 as a rookie, that you know, that's kind of slipped down into the 16, 17 range. I don't know if he'll get there. But once again, it goes back to what you say about the players. How much do the players respect what he does? Mm-hmm. It seems like a lot after, you know, I know Draymond, you know, he was famously quoted after they played, like, whoa, Chet is a problem and going to be a problem in this league. So we'll see how much that goes. What do you think about Doc Rivers in Milwaukee?
They're not done winning titles.
Is Doc Rivers changed?
No. I mean, they're not done trying to win titles. Okay. Let me better state that. It's sometimes you see them just teams like that win a title and rest on their laurels and hope everything falls into place again. They're aggressively trying to win another. I don't know though. I don't know if Doc fits in there or not. The timing of it all is very weird. And was Giannis asked how much influence he had in this decision?
Of course, and he said he was shocked. Bull crap.
Yeah.
We all know Giannis made this decision. Giannis has become Americanized in the NBA. I mean, there's reports that they only hired Adrian Griffin because he didn't want Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse, who took the Raptors to a title. Well, he didn't want him, and now he decides he doesn't like Adrian Griffin, so here comes Doc, which players seem to love Doc. Problem with Doc is he holds infamous playoff records. He's the only coach to have teams blow 3-1 leads three times. He's lost the 3-2 lead the most times in NBA history as a coach, 7. He's lost the most game 7s in a career for 10. I don't know that Doc is way more seasoned, and he's obviously, you know, the veteran players sure seem to like him. But Doc's also the biggest choker of a coach that we've ever seen in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It just feels like Giannis is running things, and Giannis has become LeBron for Milwaukee, and you understand why. Milwaukee does. It's the same reason when KD left, the Thunder panicked, and they turned everything over to Russ because they were scared to death he was going to leave. In a small market, you're thinking to yourself, I'm never going to get another guy like that. But then you turn it over, and now it's the Giannis's. It's not the Bucks. It's the Giannis's, and we'll see if he makes good decisions. It's just the power of the players in this league.
When he's signing that extension, do you think there's some handshake agreements? Like, you're going to have a lot more say now.
Even if there wasn't, in his mind, that's what that meant.
Yeah.
That's the way those guys operate. Well, I'm getting paid more than anybody in this franchise.
I should have
I
a say.
I am the franchise. Yeah. No, not I should have a say.
I will,
and you're going to listen to me. Otherwise, I'll demand a trade, and then I won't play. I mean, it's just the crap that goes on with the players having so much power. And they do. There's nothing you can do about it. I mean, Milwaukee's, you know that the front office guys are thinking, oh, no. We got to do whatever we can to appease Giannis, keep him happy so he'll stay here.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, I'm interested in this. Let's see what happens.
I mean, he wanted Dame. He got Dame. Dame didn't want Terry Stotts, so he's out. And now here we are with Doc coming in. We'll be back. We're always on the lookout for a healthy, homegrown, satisfying snack that we can eat on the go. Tucker Family Beef has just that snack with Made in Oklahoma Tucker Family Beef Sticks, now available in two flavors, regular or jalapeno and cheese. Tucker Family Beef still specializes raising prime beef that you can purchase in bulk with halves or wholes that come from all natural, no hormone added, high quality cattle. Check out their entire selection at TuckerFamilyBeef.com. Since 1917 at Tucker Family Beef, it's what they don't do that makes it great.
Are you crying? Are you crying?
A skinny on sports.
There's no crying in baseball.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Probably the best text we've ever received, and it's the truest that we've ever received. Tucker Family Beef Sticks are good. Yes, they are. Regular jalapeno and cheese, two flavors. They are delicious. TuckerFamilyBeef.com is their website. Go check it all out. I mean, I've talked about the beef for a year, as we'll be back. 8 for State, the Tucker Family Beef, 8 for State is coming back. And tomorrow, Jared, would be the first time that people will have a chance to kind of start perusing who they want to pick in Class A and Class B, boys and girls, as the pairings will be announced. As we get once we get those announced, then we can get the contest set up, and you can send us, here's how it works, send us your 8 for State in Class A and B, boys and girls. So 32 teams to make the state tournament before the playoffs start. Playoffs start, what, the 9th of February? 8th, maybe, in some locations?
Yeah, we might want to say
8th, that Thursday.
So we want deadline at
Wednesday the 7th.
Or Thursday at noon.
Thursday, yeah. I mean, as long as the games aren't being played. Sure. And let's
be
honest.
We can see the, yeah.
There's not going to be a ton of, I mean, Thursday's results aren't probably going to affect very many state tournament type teams. But anyway, yeah, we'll do that. Thursday the 7th, 8th, 8th. It isn't the 8th. That's why it's last 7th grade basketball game down in Anadarko. So the 8th of February is the deadline to get your 8 for State in for the Tucker Family Beef 8 for State. You pick those, and then once we get to the state tournament, the brackets come out, and then you'll pick the entire bracket for all four. Those have point values. I think Coach Ham won last year.
Yep.
It was down to the very last game. Lomega would have won the Class B girls. A different winner would have happened since Hammond won the Class B girls. Coach Ham was the winner.
I don't know how. I think somehow he influenced all that, him being a coach.
I don't know.
I don't know how, though.
That's what we'll do.
I'm going to figure it out, Coach.
Listen, Super Bowl coming up. Check out that website, tuckerfamilybeef.com. You can find some really good groceries to cook for the Super Bowl. Yeah, or even for Sunday.
Or, you know.
Or just normal day.
On Tuesdays, yes. Whatever.
We had some burgers. This time we had some pre-made patties made. So, you know, easier to thaw out, quicker to use. And We made some burgers. What was that? It was Monday. It was Monday because Wyatt's game got canceled because school got canceled.
Oh, that's right.
So we were home to cook, and bam, we made those burgers. Man, they were good.
Yeah.
Yep, TuckerFamilyBeef.com. All right, Jared.
We got to limit ourselves when we talk about it. Now I'm just hungry.
I know. Wish I had one of those beef sticks.
Yeah. Katie has really turned into a beef stick connoisseur.
You know what
I... We go in the quick stops, and she is meticulously looking
for a certain one.
Certain ones.
She's looking for Tucker Family Beef Sticks.
I need to hook her up.
If she hasn't had one, then she'll start looking for it only.
Exactly.
You know what turns out I really like? I knew I kind of liked this as a snack, but since we can't have sugar or can't have sugary snacks for the month of January in my house,
yeah,
the pistachio.
Really?
I love pistachios.
Okay. Can't say that I do.
You don't?
Nah.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
I do. I love pistachios. You know what else I love? Red grapes.
No, the red grapes are good.
I may have eaten 40 red grapes last night.
Yeah, red grapes.
And right now, it seems like right now, for the past month or so, it must be grape season because the grapes have been phenomenal for like a month and a half. Plump, juicy, firm, sweet, extra sweet. Maybe they taste sweeter since I haven't had sweets, but...
Yeah, we always have grapes, strawberries, and bananas in our house.
See, we always have grapes and apples.
We do have apples, too, yeah.
Every now and then.
Allie's really good about keeping
them. I like strawberries, but they're not around a lot. Raspberries, blueberries.
Yeah.
What's the blueberry thing? There's something about the blueberry, the reason why we have them. Yeah, pistachio's amazing. There we go. No, you're the only one. You're the only one off the pistachio train there,
sorry,
Jared. Do you like cashews?
Sure, I could eat cashews.
I like cashews.
James likes pistachios.
Pistachios are good.
Pistachios.
Probably pistachios out here. I'm not saying it right. Maybe that's why nobody realized what it was. I meant pistachios.
I think she likes it because they're easier to eat than sunflower seeds for her.
Yeah, you can crack them outside your mouth.
Yeah.
Instead of putting a load of them in your mouth and cracking them that way. All right, which Super Bowl matchup would make you the happiest?
For for entertainment value.
Just, yeah, just like, know, man, this is cool.
Because of being a sports fan, I want to see a good game come down to the fourth quarter.
No. I don't mean that. No? I just mean what would be your favorite matchup? Not necessarily because you think it's going to be a good game. We'll get to that one next.
Oh, okay. My favorite matchup, I guess, put Detroit in there because the pomp and circumstances of all that would be kind of cool to see. And, yeah, Kansas City. Yeah. Because you got a lot of, there's a lot of developing storylines there. I mentioned that because of the Detroit thing and the history there, non-history in their playoffs, it'd be incredible to see them actually win it. And then just Kansas City chase and just continuing to add on to their dynasty, to this history that they are currently writing. Can they continue to do it? And, you know, and then my kids might actually pay attention the entire Super Bowl because Taylor Swift would be there. But, yeah, that would be, I mean, for entertainment value, sure. That would be the one.
I think so, too. I think if you talk about entertainment, Kansas City has to be there because of Mahomes.
Yeah.
No offense to Baltimore because I think they're the best team. But doesn't Baltimore seem kind of boring?
That's what I was going to say. They...
Lamar, you're never going to be overly impressed with what Lamar does through the air. And, you know, if he's running, you're like, okay, yeah, we've seen this in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They're normally called running backs, though. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't have a problem with Baltimore.
Seems blah.
Yeah, if your choice is Kansas City or Baltimore for entertainment purposes, I think I would much rather have Kansas City. And that's even with them getting huge points deducted for having Taylor Swift on their side.
Yeah. But, you know, the TVs want them, too. You know, The TV guys want them because, well, it's Kansas City. It's going to bring a lot of – even without the Taylor Swift thing, it's going to generate interest. And then, of course, with the Taylor Swift thing.
Oh, my gosh.
They want that desperately.
Listen, there's nobody – no NFL fan wants to admit this. But part of the reason why that divisional game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills was the highest rated ever for a divisional playoff game is because Swifties are watching. And they would not be watching.
My two girls included.
I mean, it's just the truth, and it's okay.
I would watch them watch the game. And what happened was when there was a Kansas City jersey on the screen, they'd stop and kind of really look, and they're looking for
Taylor.
No, they're looking for Kelsey because if he gets the ball, we could probably see Taylor next.
Here she comes.
But all they got was Jason.
It's even better was when he got the ball, we got to see shirtless Jason. It's a win-win for everybody in this situation, especially they can be in the same suite.
And that resonated because on Wednesday, because they did go to school on Monday, Wednesday I'm asking Katie how school, and we were just talking, and she was talking about how everybody was talking about that Kelsey guy with no shirt on at school. It was funny. And I mean, everybody was watching because of Taylor.
So here's a question. This is a great question on the text line or a statement, but I'm going to turn it into a question. If Kansas City is in the Super Bowl, do we see Taylor make a surprise appearance with Ursher that wasn't planned until they made the Super Bowl?
I doubt it. That'd blow the roof off, but I doubt it. I doubt it.
I like Ursher.
Yeah, I mean, he's all right.
I like him. I'm a big Ursher guy.
He brings a lot of familiar music to the halftime show.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, but that is always the question.
He can dance. Listen, nobody's MJ. But him and Justin Timberlake are kind of like the closest.
Yeah.
Like poor man's Michael Jackson with the dancing and the singing and all that. And I think Ursher... he's been around long enough to where there's going to be some pretty cool people, maybe even some I know, with him.
That go on, yeah. I wonder who that'll be. That's
Wyatt was telling me a name.
In Vegas. I mean,
Wyatt was telling me a name that I literally have never heard of. I thought, oh yeah, that'll be good. I don't know who it was. I can't even repeat the name. I don't remember who it was. I've never heard of it. Some musical act. Anyway,
I'd prefer them to do the, because that's why they've gotten some.
I mean, Little John's got to be there, right?
Yeah. But it's Vegas, right? Is he going to come out dressed up as Elvis? Is he? Is he going to do an Elvis medley? Is there going to be? Is Wayne Newton going to get on stage with him?
Oh my gosh! How awesome!
Tom Jones, is Tom Jones still kicking?
Yeah, here's Donnie and Marie.
Yeah, I mean, it's Vegas. It's Vegas.
Oh,
who's that going to be?
Okay,
he's not going to go solo. Someone's going to come out there.
Here's what Usher has to do: get away from even the king. He's got to do a Frank Sinatra medley.
Oh, yes.
This town.
Or does he cover Viva Las Vegas? You know, I don't know.
Man. Well, what if he just brings back Ocean's 11? What if they're out there with him?
It's Vegas. It's the show capital of the world. You have to do it right on the I mean, there's a lot of pressure on Usher. He has to do the halftime show right. Has to. But again, Taylor Swift.
Wayne Newton might melt under the lights.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, heck,
I never thought about this angle.
Can't perform the Thanksgiving halftime show in Dallas. Wayne Newton can do it.
I'm afraid
he's over 80. He has to be like 82 or something.
I'm afraid that Dolly performance at halftime at Dallas
might have done her.
No, not her in. The populations of some of the retirement homes may have went down with hearts stopping when they saw that.
We've gone off the rails. I came up with the perfect summary of Dallas Cowboys season.
What's that?
They were Dolly Parton.
Dolly was the hottest thing going.
They at first glance looked pretty
She's
good.
80.
Looked okay. Sounded pretty good. And then when you watch it more and more, go, she's kind of up there.
Pretty
good for Dolly though.
Yeah, Dolly was the hottest. However old she is on that day.
She's in her 70s.
78 years old.
78.
She was only 77 then, because she turned 78 about a week ago.
That's right. She just had a birthday.
Holy Moses. Way to go, Dolly. Anyhow, which matchup do you want to see that you think would give us the best game?
You knew my answer was coming. The best game is San Francisco.
Or most Baltimore. Competitive game,
I think
let's
it would
say.
Be San Francisco-Baltimore. I don't care what happened the first time they met up. If you watch that game, that just got out of hand in a bad way for San Francisco. That wasn't an indication of for me, it wasn't an indication of Baltimore just has their number and the X's and O's. I just think it's just a lot of bad things happened against San Francisco. I want to see the rematch. I think that'll give us a game where it's going to come down to the a play in the fourth quarter. We go, that was the play that turned that game around.
Doesn't this? I realize they have to get there for this to even be true. But you know what this whole thing seems like to me.
What would that be?
Setting up for the end of a career.
For Kelsey?
Nope.
No.
He ended the Texas A&M rivalry with a kick. And I think he's going to end his career as a Baltimore Raven with a kick. Feels like this is Justin Tucker's swan song to walk off the stage of the Super Bowl with a game-winning field goal. And try to make his claim as the greatest of all time, which he has a pretty good claim to. He just doesn't have those memorable kicks like Vinatieri does. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, he made the one to beat the Broncos to get them to the Super Bowl the last time. You know, up in Mile High from, 50-something yards in overtime or whatever. I mean, he's made huge, 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 huge kicks his entire career. And this is, to me, of all the things that are going to be talked about, I could see this being Justin Tucker winning the Super Bowl with the field goal and that being it. So, and capping one of the greatest careers we've ever seen as a kicker. I know that's not sexy, but I don't care.
Game-winning field goals are awesome, especially as time expires and, you know.
It hits John Candy in the head underneath it. Oh, yeah, I can't do that anymore. But I think it's probably Baltimore, San Francisco should give you the best game. And, you know, everybody can say, well, Baltimore just killed them. Yeah, okay. That might even get San Francisco a little bit more fuel to not let that happen.
We got weeks, what, 3 weeks, two and a half weeks. Until, so we can really break down the matchup. But, man, that pressure is mounting, I think, on 49ers, because after this year, I've seen they kind of put all their eggs in a basket for this season. They're going to have to do some stuff in the offseason, have to pay some players or let some players go.
Them and the Bills.
The
Cowboys, to us. I mean, it always kind of happens, but, yeah, you're right. They've got some decisions to be making.
So if they can't even get past this weekend, there's a lot of
the Purdy thing still hanging out there too. How much are you going to pay him when you have to pay him?
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh to the Chargers. What's the most annoying part of that next?
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
The Skinny on Sports.
Now we're back!
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. We have Jim Harbaugh, five-year deal with the Chargers, leaving Michigan. Now, I asked before the break, what is the most annoying part of this? Of Jim Harbaugh being in the news heading to the Chargers. What do you think?
Maybe it's more sad for me is that the players that remain in Michigan are going to be hit hard with all this stuff, and Jim Harbaugh is going to get off scot-free.
That's annoying
to me, I guess.
That's the two answers we've had on the text line. That exact a version of Michigan's going to get hammered. Harbaugh's not going to have to deal with the consequences. Somebody else is.
Yeah.
That is a good one.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's necessarily – listen, what's happened at Michigan is Jim Harbaugh's fault, but he's not breaking rules here by taking another job and going to the NFL. And this all starts with the NCAA needs to fix that problem of – and it's been a problem for years. Pete Carroll's a great example, too. Mm-hmm. So NCAA, I mean, we're never shocked when they can't figure this stuff out, are we?
No, no.
It starts with them. It starts with that front office, and they can't figure it out, just like they can't figure out the portal or the NIL.
This is exactly why, during the season, people that thought Michigan was cheating hollered from the mountaintops, right here on this show included, that the Big Ten should have suspended or kept Michigan out of their title game, which then keeps them out of the playoff, which then doesn't allow them to win the national title that will be vacated if what's being reported in some places with these NCAA infractions and the major infractions they committed are going to come down the pike. You had one opportunity to punish Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. Everybody knew this was coming. He was leaving for the NFL. This is the third straight offseason that he's had dalliances with different NFL teams. This time, because he knows he's about to get hammered at Michigan to the point where they couldn't even really negotiate an extension with him right now because of the sanctions that may be headed their way. That was your only chance. We all know that the NCAA moves at such a glacial pace, there was no way they were going to be able to do anything about it in season. Big Ten was the only ones that could, and they were never going to do it because what does that do? Pulls money out of their pocket because their cash cow doesn't make the playoff. It doesn't win the title.
Yeah,
we literally put this scenario out there in real time as it was happening, and now here it comes. But that's still not the most annoying part of this. That's annoying.
We've mentioned two of them.
That's annoying.
What is it?
The most annoying part of this, would we all agree that Jim Harbaugh taking this job, one of the most enticing reasons to take this job, is because of the quarterback that's in place, Justin Herbert? Wouldn't we all agree that's a big selling point of the Chargers?
Yeah, stability there.
A guy that could be a top five, that could be really good.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've been high on him since.
That is 100%. Yeah. Like if you look, okay, you can go. Yeah, it's pretty cool to live in Southern California. You know, whatever.
Yeah, he's look out of place with those khakis. But
Justin Herbert is way up the list, if not at the very, very top of the list.
Yeah.
And what do you see today?
Oh, I have not seen anything. What?
You've got woke sports writers
throwing
out the possibility of Colin Kaepernick coming back to be the quarterback of the Chargers. That is way more annoying to me than what we knew was going to happen at Michigan.
Heed this warning, listeners. Don't click on him. Don't click. It's clickbait. That's all it is. It's clickbait.
What year?
That's like a delusional fan. That's like,
well, that's all they are.
It's like, yeah.
What year of the Lord? This is the year of the Lord, 2024. What year of the Lord will it be when we don't see this crap? When a coaching change or you know, quarterback gets let go, you know, whatever happens. What year of the Lord will it be when these guys and gals stop writing articles about Colin Kaepernick coming back to the NFL?
You know, it's funny, if none of this ever happened and he would continue to play, he'd probably be retired by now. So he's at that retirement age.
He's 36.
That's pushing it. There's no way you'd bring in a 36-year-old guy to be your franchise quarterback. But no, it pushes a narrative, and those writing this don't know what we just talked about. Don't know what we just said about retirement age and what it takes to be a player, a quarterback, any kind of player in the NFL. How old is Jason Kelce? He's in late 30s. He just retired. Now, I know it's a more rigorous position.
Nah, he hasn't retired yet.
Well,
I mean, he hasn't said it.
Yeah.
36?
36. But those who write this stuff are so delusional. They don't care. Doesn't push their agenda, push their narrative. So I'll say.
Do you have any idea the last time Colin Kaepernick played in the NFL?
Like 7-8 years ago?
2016. So what year will we no longer see this brought up?
I'll round it up to 10 years. 26.
26. Oh, I thought you meant 10 more.
No, 10 years since he's last played. 2026.
Yeah, that's not enough, I don't think.
You think it's going to be longer?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it wouldn't shock me.
Okay, so I could almost see it being 10 years. You know why? Tom Brady played till he's 45 and still pretty good.
Yeah.
Kaepernick's 36, so I'm going to go like 2033. Once he gets older than Brady,
yeah.
Then I think, well, then it'd be like, oh, yeah, well, he hadn't played in so long. He's still fresh.
That's what's going to happen. That's why there's no conversation still out there is because he's still fresh.
Jared's got the right answer on the text line. When the good Lord himself comes back to get us all. That's probably true. Yeah. He could be 80 on a cane and somebody will write that article.
Yeah.
That's just so annoying. Gosh, it's annoying to me. You see, okay, it's official, and then right after that, you update Twitter or go to some, and there it is. Will Jim Harbaugh bring back Colin Kaepernick to be the quarterback? Hell no, he's already got Justin Herbert.
I want to see during his introductory press conference that person who wrote that article ask him that question.
Oh, let's hope so. Let's hope so.
It would make the Tampa Bay reporter look smart.
Oh, man, have you seen... We'll make our picks for these conference championship games tomorrow, but have you seen Detroit's schedule?
Like their schedule for this weekend or for next? What are you talking about?
This year, they have not played outside.
Oh, really?
Uh-uh. They have played outside once in like 3 months.
Oh, well, that's
because they play home games inside, obviously.
Sure.
But then their road games.
One was Tampa Bay.
Okay, so they played. Huh?
Did they play at Tampa Bay?
So they played at the Ravens.
Okay.
Let's see what the date of this.
September?
Yeah, let's say, what's the date of this game? It was October 22nd when this story is written. So maybe the 21st of October, 22nd of October, whatever it was. So then they go Raiders at home. At the Chargers. So that's a dome. Bears at home, Packers at home, at the Saints. So that's a dome. Then they did go to Soldier Field. But then Broncos at home, at the Vikings a dome, at the Cowboys a dome, Vikings at home, and then the two playoff games. So they played outside once since the end of October. Does that give you pause? Especially if it's raining.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's always a possibility in San Francisco. It was last weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gives me a little pause, but I don't think it doesn't change who I was going to pick in this game anyways.
You weren't going to pick the Lions anyhow?
No.
It's just interesting.
So you think it's fool's gold? They've been protected by domes all season long?
When you said the lady from Tampa Bay, I thought, I wonder how the Lions are preparing to play outside. I hope somebody asks Dan Campbell about the conditions in the dome at San Francisco, just kind of make this thing go full circle. Everybody have a great Thursday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered.